Well, good morning. This is the Lou Rockwell Show, and what a treat it is to have as our guest this morning, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Dr. Tenpenny is an osteopathic medical doctor, board certified in three different medical specialties. In 1996, she opened Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center near Cleveland, Ohio. She's an expert in a huge number of medical and I might say political issues too. But today we want to talk to her about what's very much in the news, and she obviously thinks it's an extremely important issue, as do I, and that's the whole question of the problem with vaccines and, of course, the propaganda campaign that's going on right now so intensively by the big pharma and by the FDA and CDC and the rest of the gang to bring about, I think, probably mandatory vaccinations for people of all ages, little babies to old people, for a host of vaccines. Even though, as Dr. Tenpenny shows in her latest book, Saying No to Vaccines, there are huge problems. And we're lucky to have as our guest this morning somebody who spent more than 18,000 hours investigating and researching this question of the problems with vaccines. So, Dr. Tenpenny, we'd probably be called vaccine deniers or whatever would be the latest attack. The reason for the attacks is because more and more people are seeing through the propaganda, and they're more and more parents especially are worried about giving their little babies these shots. So that's why the propaganda. So I think it indicates actually something good is happening, even though having to hear all these lies is unfortunate.
I think that sums it up. I think that there are more and more people who are questioning vaccines, and even if they, for the most part, want to vaccinate their children, they want to pick and choose. They want to say, you know, I'm really concerned about meningitis, and so I really, and my kid's in daycare, and so I want to get the Hib vaccine. But I understand that polio is not a big deal here. In fact, the Western Hemisphere was declared polio-free in 1994. I'm not planning on traveling to Ethiopia or to Pakistan. I don't live in an area where there's a lot of traffic from international people, and so I'm not going to get that vaccine. And so even though it appears in a lot of ways that there are more people that are unvaccinating or not vaccinating than there ever have been, I believe that parents are wising up and saying, you know, I don't think all of these are necessary. We went from having three vaccines in 1985, where we had the MMR, the DPT, and the polio vaccine in 1985, to now where children get 49 doses of 16 different vaccines by the time they start kindergarten. And so just the mere number of injections of what they are being injected with in terms of chemicals and human aborted fetal cells and animal DNA and albumin and heavy metals like aluminum. And yes, there still is mercury in the multi-dose flu shots. We have created a monster, and now they want to take away our right to refuse anything. I'm so concerned about this, Lou, in terms of what may happen this fall when school is supposed to start. And parents, maybe they had one child that had a very severe reaction, maybe developed seizures, maybe developed insulin-dependent diabetes, and then they decided to not vaccinate the rest of their children for fear that the same thing could happen to them. And now are they going to be forced by laws, by these knee-jerk reaction laws that are happening across the country, to repeal the right to refuse? And will they be required to take the risk for the rest of their family that the same thing may happen to the rest of their children that happened to one?
And this is really just totalitarian. And there's no examination of the other side in all the publicity and all the news reports. We're just given one side, which is pure propaganda. A while ago, heard a report on NPR, and they were saying, oh, it's terrible. And of course, you expect it in backward places like the rural South that people don't like vaccinations. But it turns out that the county in the U.S. that has the most anti-vaccination fervor among people is Marin County, California. And that's a bunch of liberals and intelligent liberals. So isn't it horrible that these people are accepting these rotten ideas and don't want their children vaccinated? And the NPR said, what are we going to do about this? And their answer was, well, just much more propaganda. And of course, also mandatory vaccinations. So you're right. I mean, it's something to be very worried about this fall. And what about, you know, you mentioned the flu vaccine. What about not just the vaccinations that would be given to children, but all the vaccinations that the CDC would like to have everybody throughout their lives being given?
There's two parts to that. One is the Healthy People 2020 policies that have been guideposts for public health since the 80s. And every 10 years, they started this in 1980, and it was healthy people 1990. And then in 1990, they said healthy people 2000. Well, in healthy people 2010, they came out with the healthy people 2020 rules. And when you pull up those rules and you see that this was the decade of vaccines and that they are absolutely intent on making all of these vaccines mandatory all the way up through to get somewhere between a 95 and a 97% vaccination rate on all the childhood vaccines. And then the next thing that has come out, which just got published, or at least it came into my hands, the first part of February of this year, are the new recommendations for the adult vaccinations. And so we've got flu shots, pneumonia shot, the shingle shot, and there are more than 200 vaccines in the pipeline that are going to be coming down the road. And so part of my big concern here is that if we give up our right to refuse and we just roll over and say, yes, those kids should be vaccinated, and we take away the right to refuse for children, and we take away the rights to refuse as adults, and that those are now going to be put into place coming over the next 5 years, that also means we're going to give up our right to refuse the next 200 to 300 vaccines that are coming down the pipeline, and the vast majority of them are targeted towards adolescents and adults. In order to get the liability protection under the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, those vaccines have to be added to the pediatric schedule for them to be protected. So even if so that will even load up more vaccines for kids as they get into their adolescent years. So if what people don't understand about saying, yeah, these kids should all be vaccinated and we should have all these mandates, is they are setting it up so that you can't refuse these additional ones that are barreling down the track. And people don't understand that. They don't know that. All they're worried about is measles, for heaven's sakes. You know, that measles back in the 70s and the 80s, when there was high amounts of measles out endemic in the population, was considered a disease, an infection of inconvenience, just like chickenpox. And now we have brainwashed these young parents into thinking that it's deadly and horrible and your kid's going to die if they get measles or chickenpox. And they don't understand that this was always a rite of passage illness that happened. You know, you had chicken pox probably and measles, and so did I. And if it was so terrible, there wouldn't be anybody in our age group.
Well, I can remember being sent over to a friend's house who had measles to play with them on a Saturday, so I would get measles.
Yeah.
And my father was a doctor, my mother was a nurse. They knew what they were doing. They weren't terrified of this. They wanted me to have it in order to get the immunity.
Yes. And we keep calling these infections, we keep calling them diseases. And a disease is something that's long-term, it's chronic, you never recover from it. You are in the medical system and probably taking medication for seizure disorders or diabetes or something like that. These are infections that come and go in 7 to 10 days, and the vast, vast majority of people end up with lifetime immunity, and they have no serious consequences from them. And now that we know about vitamin D and vitamin A and different types of things that can happen, we've got to change this paradigm. We've got to stop being afraid of viral infections that come and go to the point where we have to inject solutions that can cause permanent lifetime damage to you to avoid a fever, a cough, a rash, and some diarrhea.
And Dr. Bell, what about something we should be afraid of? Autism.
Well, autism is the worst case scenario, and a lot of times now people just roll their eyes when you talk about autism because they say it's been disproven absolutely that the vaccines are connected to autism, which is simply a lie, because the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is actually even adjudicated and awarded damages for autism. They call it encephalopathy, or they call it encephalitis, and then it's okay. But if you use the A word and use autism, and then it's like, oh, well, that's all been proven, disproven, and there's no connections between vaccines and autism, but in fact, there are. The problem is that there's a long continuum of conditions prior to autism. I look at autism as the worst case scenario, or one of the worst case scenarios. But prior to that, from vaccine injury, we have things like ADD, ADHD, asthma, allergies, insulin-dependent diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, a very long list of neurological conditions. And all of these things have been published in the medical literature. And this is where this debate of the pro-vaccine people versus the anti-vaccine people just falls apart, because the people who are pushing this agenda are not willing to look at articles and science that's been published in their own journals. They deny that it's even there in order to tell all of us who've read the literature that we're wrong.
And of course, it was Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Was he the first to actually demonstrate the specific connection between, as you say, this range of terrible diseases ending in autism and vaccinations?
Dr. Wakefield's story has been so convoluted by the media that people just hear autism and they automatically knee-jerk reaction think of Wakefield and his one study that got beat up and eventually was taken down from being published in The Lancet. But what Dr. Wakefield's study really was just a case report. He had all of these, he had 12 children, 12 with autism that had terrible bowel disease. They were always like they were in pain. And so he did colonoscopies on them and he found that these children all had something called ileolymphoid hyperplasia, which is a fancy way of saying that their lymph nodes inside of their colon and their were all swollen. And when they took biopsies of that, they found what appeared to be a virus that looked like it was a measles strain. It was a measles virus and possibly vaccine strain. And when he reported that, it was simply a case report. And doctors have been giving case reports of things they found in their patients since the time of Hippocrates and since the time medical journals began. And he wrote this up and said, this is really interesting and perhaps we should look at this more closely. Well, apparently what he did with that paper was he picked up a stick and poked it into the eye of the giant Merck, and they came after him and destroyed him and destroyed all of his credibility and put all of this information into parents' brains of believing that he was discredited, the study was revoked and was retracted, and there's no connection, and you people just are following after somebody who's been completely discredited. They don't understand what that whole study was about. And now people turn their ears off and turn their brains off whenever it's mentioned.
You know, that is the first clear explanation I've ever heard of it, Doctor. So it's no wonder that you're such an in-demand speaker and radio and television guest on these issues. And what is the answer to the fact that autism and the other diseases affiliated with it have increased so dramatically as versus, say, the 1940s and 50s? What's the argument by the pro-vaccine people as to why this is happening?
Better diagnosis. We have better tools now to tell that these kids have brain injuries. I mean, if doctors couldn't tell that children had brain injuries and they were toe walking and hand flapping and screaming, if they couldn't have told that 15 years ago, they shouldn't have been a physician. So it's like suddenly there are so many more of them because we can diagnose it better. I mean, like, really? It's such a lame argument. And where you really saw the really big uptick and where more and more vaccine injuries were happening and these brain injuries and autism went off the charts was when we started giving the hepatitis B vaccine at birth. And we, in the same year, we started giving the Hib vaccine at 2 months of age. The hepatitis, and that was in 1991. And the graph, the uptick in the graph of where autism happened was right after that point in time. And so even though there was a big group of parents who were saying it's all about the mercury, and to a certain degree it was because children were getting 61 or 62 micrograms of mercury each time they were going in and getting these vaccines because nobody bothered to do the math and add up all the different mercury and all the different vaccines when they were coming in until finally somebody did do the math and said, they said, oh my goodness, that's really bad. So in 2001, they started taking the mercury out of the vaccines, but the government did not force them to do a product recall and pull all of the mercury-laden vaccines off of the shelves and replace them with non-mercury vaccines. They just let them go away by attrition. So over a 2 or 3 year period of time, children were still getting these massive doses of mercury. Well, mercury, in fact, is out of most of the vaccines now, but what they've replaced it with is aluminum. So now we're getting high doses of aluminum in all of these vaccines, but they did leave the mercury in the multi-dose flu shots. And now that we're requiring healthcare workers to get a flu shot in exchange for keeping their jobs, they're all now getting shot with mercury every time they get a flu shot. So the whole system is just so convoluted and wrong at every place. You know, when we started giving the hepatitis B vaccine at birth, why did we do that? It was because the 1991 paper said that hepatitis B was endemic in Southeast Asia, like 10% of the population in Southeast Asia had hepatitis B. So therefore, we should give one-day-old infants hepatitis B vaccines in the United States. And that's really what the paper said. And when Congress questioned them on where was their research that showed that giving a one-day-old baby a hepatitis B vaccine was safe, they said, oh, well, sorry, we don't have any. We only tested it on 5 to 10-year-old kids. But nobody Wow. stopped it, and it's been going on since 1991. And parents that go into the hospital system to give birth, they get badgered to death to give their kid this hepatitis B, this brand new baby that just because it's out of the womb, in no way does it make it be mature, this brand new baby, a hepatitis B vaccine at birth. And I often equate it to, you know, you think about Cape Canaveral and the liftoff of the space shuttle, you know, that was long time in development. And when it happens, when they say it's liftoff and all of those systems have to come click, 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 click in space and do everything in order just to get that rocket off of the platform. And then all that energy it takes to go out into space. I equate that to that's what the birthing process is. It's 9 months in development and a lot of energy to get from inside the mother to the outside, and then you have all of these systems that need to be to go. You need to go from the circulation has to change, the respiration has to change. You go from ambient air and on and on and on with that birth process is. And in that first 24 hours, we inject hepatitis B and we inject vitamin K, which is a synthetic vitamin K that has benzyl alcohol in it. To me, that would be the same thing as right as liftoff of that rocket. We took a 55-gallon drum of salt and threw it into the engines and said, oh, it's perfectly safe. It should cause no problems.
Wow. Obviously, more and more parents are worried. More and more parents should be worried. And we have this vast corporate state edifice of the pharmaceutical companies and the government. I remember when the George W. Bush administration came in there, the first law that Congress passed at the behest of Bush was on vaccine liability. I mean, removing liability from vaccine companies that obeyed the government, that they couldn't be sued for whatever damage they might cause. So this is a huge deal, and it's getting worse. Propaganda is getting worse. As you say, we should all be worried about what the public schools are going to require in this fall. So what do parents do? I mean, first of all, obviously educate themselves, read your book, Say No to Vaccines. But, you know, what is there anything they can do? Or are they going to be forced? Are they going to be forced to have all this vast array and increasing array of vaccinations for their children?
Well, there's two things of what you said I'd like to address. One is what Bush actually passed was an extension of the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is actually put into place to protect the drug companies from faulty vaccines. That was put into law in 1986 by Reagan. When Bush came in 2005, the next level of that got ramped up was the PREP Act, which Senator Frist from Tennessee did, another Republican, who did this at the last minute when he attached the PREP Act on the back end of a defense appropriation bill. And I wrote a really long article about that explaining to people how now the drug companies have no liability at all. And I wrote an article about that. It's on my website, which is drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny, drtenpenny.com. And the title of the article is, You Have All the Risk, They Have None of the Liability. Because now with the PREP Act going into place, if they make any sort of a drug or a vaccine, and it's a bad lot, and it kills a bunch of people, you have no recourse, not even the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And you cannot come after the drug companies unless the state attorney general's office decides with the public, and you can prove intent that the drug companies made this drug or this vaccine intentionally to harm and kill you. That's the only way that you have any recourse. And so that went into play. That has been on the books since 2005. We have not done anything with the vaccine exemptions until recently, until this just came out in the last couple of months, to try to repeal the philosophical exemptions, which there are 19 states that have a philosophical exemption, and 48 states, all except West Virginia and Mississippi, have a religious exemption. And that is constitutionally protected. But yet these states' legislators are now being put to task to try to revoke that. So what people can do, and they really need to get active on this, we have a short window of time to really make a difference. Because what do politicians care about? There's only two things, really. They care about votes, or they care about money. And so the people start putting out a very loud voice to their state representatives, that there should be no mandates and leave my exemptions alone. And how they do that is you go to the NVIC. It's like NVIC, which is the National Vaccine Information Center. So it's N, V like Victor, I like Iris, C like Charlie, NVICadvocacy.org. You go in there, you sign up for free, you will get alerts on your state of what laws are now being passed. They even tell you, call your congressman or your state representative and say, vote yes on this law, vote no on this law. It's pretty brainless. It takes 5 minutes. You generally don't even talk to your actual representative. You're talking to a staffer, and they're keeping tallies of people who are calling in and saying, vote yes or vote no on these laws. And if you sign up and you are from Colorado, you're only going to get information about Colorado. You won't be deluged with information from other states. But we need everybody who's listening to this, and tell your friends and family and neighbors, if you care about your right to choose, and you care about these 200 vaccines coming down the pipeline and your right to refuse, now is the time to act and to call and to go to NVICadvocacy.org and get involved.
Dr. Tremendous, I just want to mention one last subject, thinking of evil Republican politicians and Merck, and that's Gardasil. Rick Perry and the people involved in the Republican Party of Texas made vast amounts of money, and of course Merck made the most money from instituting this in Texas and attempting to give it to every sixth grade girl. Now they're talking about giving it to boys too, and of course there have been negative reactions. What's happening with Gardasil?
Well, they've already passed it where they are giving it to boys, and there are already boys that have been listed as injured on the VAERS report, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And there are several of the original researchers on the Gardasil vaccine who are now coming forth and saying this will be the biggest scandal of the pharmaceutical industry ever because of how bad these vaccines are. There's already three or four countries that have banned this vaccine because of the neurological damage that it's causing. It's completely unnecessary vaccine, not a disease that you're going to catch from anybody like sitting in a classroom. We are giving Gardasil to 9 to 12-year-old girls and boys years before most are going to be sexually active or even think about getting cervical cancer. It's a horrible vaccine. It's got the highest amount of aluminum of any of the vaccines. And in fact, when they did the original safety trials, what was used as a placebo in the Gardasil trial was a shot of aluminum. So one set got a shot of aluminum, the other set got a Gardasil vaccine, and then they said, well, the side effects were the same with Gardasil as the placebo, so it's as safe as the placebo. Thinking that most people would think of placebo as something completely inert, but in this case, they used as the placebo in the trial a shot of aluminum.
Doctor, I can't thank you enough for all you do, for sounding the alarm for all this time, and you are being listened to, and let's hope you're listened to much at a much greater rate. And of course, we're going to link to your site, to your Twitter feed, your Facebook, your weekly radio show, Know Your Rights Hour, and to your books. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and for doing all you're doing. And all I can say is keep doing it.
Thank you so much, Lou. It's been an honor to be your guest today.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lou Rockwell Show today. Take a look at all the podcasts. There have been hundreds of them. There's a link on the LRC front page. Thank you.